This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
We are start with a nice word on Parshas Pinchas. The Divrei Yoyah in Parshas Trima says on the Pusik, this week's Parsha, V'dab Shem HaMoy Shalaymer, Tzavaz B'nai Yisroh, Mat V'layim, Eskabuni, Lach, Mali Ishoi, Rech Nichoich, El Hakr V'li B'moyadoi. So he says, first of all, why does it say Laymer? Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbein to repeat this. It says, Tzavaz B'nai Yisroh, Mat V'layim. So the Laymer seems out of place. And L'hakrav li b'mayadu, the Medrash says that wherever it says li, it means it's la'olam. L'hakrav li b'mayadu, you're going to be doing this forever. Now we know that we don't bring karbunas forever because the Bais Hamikdash is not standing and we don't bring karbunas anymore. So how is this always relevant? And he explains this with the well-known Gemura, Menuchas, Nashal Mapurim, Susaini. Oisik b'toiras oyla k'hili hikra oyla. If we can't bring a karbun oyla, we can at least talk about it and learn about it. And by just talking about it, by just saying the psikim, learning the halachas, it's as if we actually brought the carbon. I'm just saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, Laimer, you say it, even just saying it, and that will be l'hakrav li b'mayadoi, it will always be considered as if you actually brought the karbunas, even if Bais Hamikdash is no longer standing. And the well-known Tver Shloim in Parsha Vayikra, who talks about the power of speech that we see talking about karbunas, somebody says, harai ze oyla, just with his mouth, he just said the words, this is a oyla, and it became hekdesh. And we know what happens if somebody now is makrav that somewhere else, or, you know, very, very severe punishments for people who. And what happened? All he did was, well, he just said it. He just said it, the power of speech. And when it comes to relationships, you know, so often what is or isn't said and how things are said, it's chayim b'amuvas b'yad alushim. Mamish. The biggest problems and the biggest solutions are all about what people do or don't say and how they say it. And that's why when it comes to relationships, so much emphasis should be put on how to communicate. So with that, let me read two questions. They were actually one after the next on my list of questions to address, and they're related enough that I figured I'll just address them both together. Dear Rabbi Gruen, as somebody who is looking to enhance my communication and connection to my husband, I greatly appreciate and enjoy your shiurim. Thank you. I recently heard you say that not everything has to be said and should be said. Can you please expand on the topic in detail? Thank you. Okay, next letter. Hi, is there a place in marriage for a husband or wife to hide something from each other, whether it's stressful or hurtful information that has no benefit of being shared? For example, if a child was sent home from school or a teacher called home complaining about a child, is it obligated of the husband or wife to share this info when the spouse comes home and asks how was the day? Does the wife need to bring up all the negative stuff that will only cause more stress and disappointment? Or is it okay for her to try to keep the atmosphere at home peaceful and calm and not share the information that will only cause more stress and tension? Is it a valid complaint, for example, when the husband finds out later about this and wants to know why his wife did not share such information with him? Okay, so it's two questions. The first one is more general. Basically, a topic that we spoke about many times, is complete transparency necessary in a marriage? Or no, there are things that you don't have to say and shouldn't be said. Better if you don't say. The second question is about sharing things that disturb the calm atmosphere, something disturbing, something unpleasant, like, should I say that? Or am I entitled to want to keep things happy and healthy? And I already know the pattern. I know that if I bring up this topic, it's going to cause a tantrum or some aggravation, and it's not worth it. So let's do one at a time. You know, the first idea about total transparency, this is something that people often complain about, use against each other. Very often it's only one, obviously, but talk about that in a minute. You're hiding something from me. I want to know what's doing. I want to know who you are. I want to know who you're talking to. I want to know what you told your mother. I want to know who you're texting. I want to know how much money you have in the bank. I want to know where you were today and who you spent time with and what you said to who. Right? This is, and if not, are you hiding from me? You're hiding from me. You know, why are you hiding from me? Now that I hide from me, if we're married, and all that. So we spoke about this many times. I always like starting just with the sources. It's not the sources. If I want to collect sources, I'd probably do a better job. But I often quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Altar b'sicha ima isha. Mishnah Pirkei Avos. And the Mishnah clearly is talking about a wife. A wife. The Mishnah says that clearly. Be'ishtei Omri. And the way the Bartanita explains it, and others as well, and based on the Gemurah and the Chazal, that if something unpleasant happens to you, the husband, you shouldn't necessarily come home and share it, because your wife might look down at you when she hears that, oh, that's what happened to you? Somebody called you a name? Ah, so so people see you as a silly person. Okay, so now she'll also look down at you. Altar b'sicha, don't talk too much. Don't talk too much. So it definitely sounds like a very basic source for the idea of not sharing everything that you want to share. And I think it goes, you know, this goes into so many different topics of, if you share too much, it's going to be used against you. Don't do it. Don't do it. And it's relatively selfish reasons, right? She'll look down at you. Yeah, but that's the advice. And in general, the Chavos HaVavos talks about the benefit of Sheker. Everything that Eibishter made has a good purpose and a good benefit. What's the benefit of being untruthful? And the answer is that if you think poorly of somebody, don't be too truthful about it. Don't tell it to them. Hashem designed us in a way that when you think something, the other person doesn't necessarily know it. They might feel it, but they don't necessarily know it, and they shouldn't know it. And if you're going to start saying everything that's on your mind, then you're doing something very silly. There's a quote about a man who correctly guesses the age of a woman. He might be bright, but he's not wise. Right? A wise man doesn't correctly guess someone else's age if they're going to be offended by it. So you might be very bright, you got it, but that's not a smart thing to do. So I think this is, and even in just practically speaking, I think everyone understands that if you'd marry a mind reader, that would be terrible. That would be terrible if somebody read what's on your mind at all times. I know it would be terrible if somebody read what was on my mind at all times. That's for sure. Aside from being a huge violation of individual privacy, Hashem designed us with a certain privacy that we have our thoughts and feelings to ourselves. And whatever we say and decide how to say it, when to say it, to who to say it, that's what's exposed and known. But more than that, I don't think it's even ever practical or possible. I don't think I ever saw a relationship where two people were completely transparent one with the other. I don't even think it's such a thing. I don't think it's such a thing. Sometimes you'll see it in an unhealthy way, for example, right? I know somebody who was a woman who was harassing her husband to show her whatever he texts anyway. So every night he would come home, she'd go through all his contacts that day, everything, all his communication, whoever he spoke to, why did you speak to that person, why were you on the phone for that long, how were you able to do it, you were at work, or whatever, the whole thing, and then go through all his texts, and all his WhatsApps, and all the everything. I had questions about everything, and he had to answer everything, because if you don't answer, you're hiding from me, right? Now, when he asked her if she would be comfortable sharing with him all this information, she said, yeah, sure, here's my phone. Open book. Now, she had no issue with him reading how she was texting her therapist and her mother a lot of nasty things about him. Now, so in her eyes, it was like, wow, I'm so transparent. I'm amazing, no? No, that's terrible. That's terrible to let somebody read what you wrote about them. It's bad enough to write it, to let someone know about it. So, in the name of being very open and honest, you're hurting someone's feelings, that's ridiculous. But in most cases, it doesn't even happen. I say that in most cases, people who are insisting that someone else don't hide anything is usually violating, usually guilty of something very similar. Just recently, somebody was telling me about a situation where spouse A, let's call spouse A and spouse B, right? It doesn't make a difference if it's men or women, right? Spouse A was claiming that it doesn't feel safe not to know everything going on about spouse B. And it's going on for a long enough time until spouse B broke and said, okay, so open book, now you'll know everything. And soon, very slowly, the tune changed and spouse A said, it doesn't feel safe when you know everything about me. So I want to have a certain, you know, part of this or that or whatever it was that you won't know anything about, and that's what's going to make me feel safe. Now, you saw how fast that flipped? The same person who was demanding total transparency was now demanding individuality. You're just not giving it to someone else? How does that work? And the answer is that there's almost no such thing as really being open 100%. So of course, couples that are close and loving and connected, they share a lot and they should share a lot, and couples in general should share a lot, and it's never good to not share too much and to be too private and to be too close. And if a couple doesn't have that kind of normal, healthy relationship, something's wrong, it's true. But to say that everything and anything has to be shared and you can't hold any secret, you're not allowed to have any information, that I'm allowed to go through your pockets and listen to your conversations and whatever else, that is obviously ridiculous. Obviously ridiculous. In general, I think it's even smart for people to know that it's better if you don't know something. It's better that you don't know. Not only does the other person have the right to not give you the information, it's better if you don't know it. It's better if you don't know it. Yeah, many times I've dealt with parents who try snooping around kids and doing detective work, going through pockets and putting recorders and things like that. Sometimes it's important, but sometimes it's a dangerous situation and they were guided to do so. Most times, it's just like a certain curiosity or a certain not able to deal with not knowing something, and I have to know what's going on. I have to know what's going on. And what can you do about it? I can't do anything about it, but I have to know. And people just make themselves crazy going through recordings and going through things and taking notes, and there's nothing they can do about it. They know they can't do anything about it. They're not doing it for a reason. There's nothing they could do about the situation, and they're still, you know, just hungry to find out. Recently, I was talking to a young man who told me that he found a notebook that his wife was journaling in, and he was reading it, and it was very unpleasant to see what she was thinking. And he decided that he's never going to look at it again. I don't think it was coming from a place where he decided that she's entitled to think or feel a certain way. I think he was hurt by what it was that she was describing there. But he realized there's nothing he could do about it, and he's not interested in reading it. And he never looked at it again. And I commend that. So I think that it's important for people to realize that no, not everything has to be shared, and there are things that you have to use judgment about to know when or what to share and when not to share, and to let someone else have their privacy, and to not even want to know everything that's going on in someone else's mind. They say the story about the person who used to say nice chedisha toira to his roof. He would share different thoughts, different chedishim, different ideas. And then one day he decided he's printing a cipher. He printed all his chedishim and he brought it to the roof in a printed volume. And the roof looked at it and he wasn't so impressed. He said, I understand. Whenever I tell you my vertluch, my ideas, you're always so impressed. He said, listen, not everything that somebody thinks they have to say. Not everything somebody says has to be written. Not everything written has to be printed. And not everything printed has to be distributed. So you went from what you think to what you're distributing in the public. You know, that's, you went a little too far. I think when it comes to relationships, the same thing could be said. Not everything that you think should be said, not everything that you said should be said to everyone, not everything that everyone says is public information. And I think people should definitely think before they say things. Whether they don't want to, they want to be able to say everything, they shouldn't. Or whether somebody's demanding it of you, and you also have to know that you don't have to. Another idea, which is maybe a bit more general, but when people have this complaint, well, why are you hiding something from me? Why do you think like that? Without even knowing what the person's thinking. If you think that somebody's thinking negatively about you, don't use that against them. Right? I know what you're thinking about me. It's called projecting. The books about borderline personality and other things, they call it projecting. I project on you. Right? People pull you into an argument by saying, I know you think I'm crazy. It's usually just what the person's thinking about themselves. But in any case, what's this thing? I know what you're thinking. I know what you're hiding. I see you're not telling me something. If somebody's thinking something about you, at least you feel so, or somebody's hiding something from you, the first thing you should think about is why. Don't eat them up for thinking. Why are they thinking that about you? Do something about it. If you feel that the person close to you thinks negatively about you or is looking to hide something from you, instead of harassing them or making them feel bad about it, think about why they're doing it. Maybe you can work on the relationship and they'll feel more comfortable sharing more information with you, or they'll think better about you. I think that's always something that people should always, you know, see it about themselves. Let's just go on to the next topic over here, which was about the negative information. Right? Kid got sent home from school, typical example, Tucker, and the husband comes home. I have to tell him right away, you know, this problem happened, it's going to make everything so tense and unhappy, either because I'll start screaming at the kid, or for whatever reason, or the kid will be insulted, or whatever it is. Now, it's funny because some people complain about just the opposite. Just the opposite. I come home, and my wife just goes on a rant about all the bad things that happened that day. Asking how her day was, everything's a problem. This one called, and that one this, and the money, and the bank, and this one not feeling well, and the doctor, and the shviger. It's funny how some people just can't handle that. I wish I would come home and say, how was your day? And she would tell me two nice things that happened that day. Or just tell me something about the war in Ukraine. Why do I have to hear this whole laundry list of problems? Somebody mentioned to me recently that, you know, he's part of a group of friends that, you know, they get together, like a lot of guys like to complain. The system is no good, and the community is no good, and the economy is no good, and the government is no good. Like, always bring up problems. He enjoyed it. Like, always felt so good to be with the guys that know all the problems, and they always see everyone else's, shortcomings and whatever else. It always, like, felt very geschmack. Until one day, he joined up some business group of people who were investing and working things out, you know, looking to expand and grow. And these people were so driven and motivated, and so invested in what they were doing, and so optimistic about all the growth and all the opportunity, and, you know, brainstorming together and giving each other encouragement, whatever. He was so impressed. Wow, these people, they don't have time to complain. They're not seeing what everyone else is doing no good. They're not so pessimistic. They see opportunity. They're like, they're driven. They're into something. And that's when you notice, like, that group is so unpleasant to be around. People that just complain the whole day. People that just see what everyone else is doing no good, and they keep on saying all the reasons why everything's so depressing and everything's falling apart and the world's coming to an end. My point is just that there are a lot of people that they don't like that kind of talk. So it's funny how some people want to hear their wives complain and tell them all the bad stuff, and some people just so a teacher called to say that he made trouble. So what's the big deal? Why do you have to share that? What's the, you know? So he made trouble. So things are going on. It's fine. You know, anyway, but it's like I said before, there are things that are okay not to share, whether because they're private, like we said before, or because they're unpleasant or stressful or painful, All because then it's not productive and there's no benefit in sharing it. There's nothing you can do about it. Nothing you can do about it. Now, it would be nice, maybe, in theory, if you were married to somebody who you could tell everything to, and they'll tell everything to you, and this whole issue is not an issue because you could tell them that the teacher called and it won't cause any stress. Nothing will come unpleasant. You can tell them anything private about you because they won't judge you. And you'll hear everything about them, so you'll never be afraid of anything that may be going on behind the scenes. But it's not practical. It's not practical. So there are things that sometimes are better not to say. And for two people to feel the same way about what should and shouldn't be said, that's a two-way street. If it bothers you that somebody's not telling you something, you can't demand it of them because they have to be comfortable saying it. If it bothers you that somebody doesn't want to hear something from you, you have to realize it's a two-way street. You want to say it, they have to want to hear it. So I think that a lot of this, where people want to or not want to say something, you can't force people to be comfortable sharing information. It definitely takes two people. So, you know, for the most part, is it okay to not say something you think will just cause stress and there's no reason to share it? Generally speaking, yeah. Yeah, there is such a thing. There is such a thing as not saying something because it's no point in saying it. Now, when it comes to children, and it comes to your spouse, and it comes to a chinuch issue, or it comes to whatever else, it's a very tricky topic. It's a very tricky topic. There are people who know how to not say the wrong things for the right reasons, right? And they do it well, and they do it wisely as well. They make sure that nobody's going to find out about it too. They do it smart. And then there are people that don't share the right things, don't share the wrong things for the wrong reasons, or the right things for the wrong reasons. And this is where it gets a little tricky. This is where it gets tricky. Sometimes a parent will not share something, not because, maybe, I don't know what the rationalization is, but not because it's not good to share, because I don't want to share this. I want to make this decision on my own. I don't want your input. I don't want to have to contend with you disagreeing with me. I don't want to have to contend with you saying something and the kids will notice that we're not on the same page. Right, so I'll do this on my own. Well, I don't want to have to give you the mechesh why I did something, so I'm not going to tell you. Now, is that right? Is this something you should really be deciding on your own or not? How do you decide that somebody else, there's no point in saying something when somebody else might feel there is a point in saying something? So this is where it gets a little tricky. There's a well-known story about, I think, Rav Chaim Lefkovitch, if I'm not mistaken, about a mother whose child was ill. And the doctor kept on being optimistic and keep on giving encouragement. Don't worry, he'll get out of it. It's okay, the statistics, and the this, and the that. We're giving this treatment, that treatment, until one day the child passed away. And that's when the mother found out that, according to the records, this child was terminally ill. And the doctor knew it all along. And he didn't have the heart to break the mother. So he figured he'll encourage her until the vayayoyim, and then, you know, the worst will happen, and that's it. Well, what will happen will happen. But to get her, you know, to break her heart and tell her in advance something not to do about it. So she came to the reshiva with a complaint about the doctor. He didn't do the right thing. He withheld private information. So she asked him why. He said, listen, I didn't have the heart to break a Yiddish imam. She was coming every day and she was so full of hope. I couldn't tell her there's no chance. So he turns to the Yiddish imam. He says, do you understand what he's saying? He said, yeah, but I could have davened for my child. If I would have known how sick he was, I would have davened harder. And the Rashiv said, you know, she's right. The doctor decided there's nothing to do. Who said there's nothing to do? So it just comes to mind when I'm talking about this. You know, how do you decide on your own there's nothing to do? How do you decide on your own that you're not sharing something for the right reason, when either you might really have other motives or other ideas? And I've seen this many times where one parent will, you know, take control over a certain situation with the child and not share it with the spouse. Chas v'shalom should never be to get back at a spouse or to team up or to control the outcome. And of course, all the rationalization is, well, my child didn't want, or it's not good for him, or I was trying to avoid aggravation or arguments or whatever. So who are you to decide that? And especially even after you think you're doing the right thing for the right reason, his spouse is entitled to a different opinion. So my point is not that he should decide what you have to share, or that you should, but it's important not to rely on yourself and to make sure that you're doing the right thing for the right reason. And this is something that I see many people make a mistake about. So if you're right, that there is no reason to share something, and it's just going to cause aggravation, then yeah, I don't think you have to share it. There's no reason to. If somebody complains later why you didn't, well, that's the reason. I didn't want to cause aggravation, which you probably should have been a little smarter about and only not share something that somebody won't find out about, which is an idea of its own. But sometimes your spouse, your husband or wife, or whatever it is, should have known about something and could have maybe helped or done something differently. And that's something you should always just check with someone at least. Just find out or at least do some introspection to make sure that you're not fooling yourself and other people. Now, even if something does have to be said, not because someone is demanding that you say it, but because you decide, you know, there's really, maybe it should be said. You still, after deciding what should be said, you still should think about when to say it and how to say it. It doesn't have to be right when your husband walks through the door. I don't know if he's going to appreciate it. I don't know. Maybe you would also be able to share it later. Why do you just put it under the carpet? Because you don't want to bombard him when he walks in. It's very nice of you. when he's hungry or tired, not to say something wrong. Or when the Shon Bayis is a little rocky that day, so you say it the next day. Don't just say things because it has to be said. And how to say something, just because something has to be said, doesn't mean it should be said in a way that comes across critical or personal or challenging. Right? You have to know how to say something. When you bring up a topic and you start off with the right bumper of, you know, it's not your issue, or I don't think you're responsible to come up with a solution, but if you don't mind, if I share what's on my mind, or what's bothering me, or what I think we should think about, or we could work on together, there's a lot of ways to say something that it should be taken right. So a lot of people who don't want to say something, when they think about how to say it, it already comes out better and easier. And even when somebody does want to say something, they also should think about how and when to say something. And that's the idea that also the Chavos Lubavitch talks about that. Before you say something, it's still yours. After you say it, it's not yours anymore. So as long as you have that siyag l'chach m'shtika, you keep quiet to make sure that what you're going to say is going to be taken well, you know, by the time you just spit it out the wrong way, you know, you can't go back and, no, I didn't mean it, I shouldn't have, you know, by that time already, it's silly. I'll add another idea, which is between the lines over here, which is just another topic. Yeah, when a husband comes home, you don't want to share negative stuff, you don't want to make stress or disappointment or whatever it is, right? You want it to be peaceful and calm. That's very important. When somebody comes home, and it's not just a husband, wife, whatever it is, it's important to have what to talk about. It's important to have information to share. Everyone has nice things that happen during the day. All the time. I come home, yeah, how was your day? Eh, fine. Nothing happened? No. Usual. It's not good shmack. Nobody likes hearing that, especially when they hear you on the phone later telling someone all the things. Yeah, but to my sister I could say it because she's interested. Just say something nice. Prepare something nice to say. I've told people, before you come home, think of a topic. Hear something, some news, something. Read something. Come home with something to say. Make conversation. Make a shmack atmosphere. You know, the idea of not sharing something negative is a good idea, but to have something positive to share, nice topics to talk about, is always important and pleasant. And yeah, the more comfortable you make someone, the more they'll want to share. It's like I said before, you know, obviously. And a relationship in general, when a relationship is good, communication is better and easier. People don't realize sometimes they get stuck on the question. The question is, should I say this or not say this? Should I do this now or I don't have to do it? Should I go? Yeah, there's a short-term answer, which is important to know, because you can't work on your relationship in one day and make it better. But you see the same situation comes up a year later, or 3 years later, or 10 years later, it's a whole different story. It's a whole different story. By that time, the same situation can be dealt with totally different, and there's no questions, and everything becomes simple, and everyone realizes what's really going on. A guy just shared with me last week something very interesting. I'm happy that I could share it with a lot of people. And he was involved in a certain investment. He was pursuing a certain, not just a money investment, he was pursuing a certain project that he felt would be very helpful for him and his family, both financially and other ways. He was putting his heart and soul into it, investing a lot of koiches into it. And Shon Bayis wasn't good at the time. And his wife kept on using it against him. You're putting so much effort into this and you're wasting your time and you should be doing other things instead. And who do you think? It was a lot of stress, a lot of pain coming out of this thing. But he was putting his heart and soul into it, hoping that his family would benefit from it. In the end, it fell through and nothing happened from it. Okay? So they put it away, as they say. Quite a few years later, they were matzliach to buy a house. Mamash not far from where they were living, but you know, had to pack up and go. It was a short move, but everything had to be taken over. And they went through the basement and the attic or whatever. The difference was that over these few years in between, they really worked on the Shon Bayis, and Baruch Shem had some part in that. And the relationship was much better by the time. And that's like a part of the reason why they were able to buy a house and move, and only because the relationship was like much better. And they're going through the stuff. It's been a few years, and they're opening box after box. And as he opens a box, and he sees all these papers and files and different data and whatever it was that he was collecting them when he was invested in this project. And as he opened it, he got like that wave of PTSD of, oh, this box, so much pain. I put so much koiches into this, and I still remember all the ridicule and all the comments, whatever. And his wife was saying this. She said, oh, what's in the box? So he showed her. This is the project that I was once working on, remember? She's like, wow, it's amazing of you. Maybe your kids one day will appreciate everything you did, all the effort you put in. I'll never forget the investment and, you know, the dedication and the sacrifice and everything you put into that. You know, come to think of it, years later, Bakshan, now we're doing much better. But I don't even know if the kids realize, you know, what you put in to them as a father. And he couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. Just a few years ago, this same box, the same project, and then he actually thought it would succeed. Now it was already a failed project. It was such a cause of stress and pain. And now it was seen so differently. So many things in life. Life and relationship is not static. So sometimes people are in a situation, they get so frustrated, like, does someone have to live forever? No, get a short-term answer. But when you work on a relationship, so many things around become simpler, And then you deal with it so much differently. Then the sharing information, because the relationship is better, you're sharing it with somebody who you're even closer to, more connected with, you know, it's a whole different thing. So just to recap, there's the idea of transparency, and I think that for the right reasons, in the right situations, in the right areas, when people withhold information, it's relatively okay. Nobody should harass each other on that kind of thing. When it comes to not sharing something negative, often it does go into the idea of not being totally transparent and being entitled to holding on to something that you don't want to share. But when it comes to children, you have to make sure that you're doing it for the right reason and the right way. And when you do want to share something, either because you want to or you're supposed to, it's still important to know how to say it and when to say it and to have what to say and what to share. And in general, to work on relationships. And a big part of relationships is like we started off with, when you communicate nicely, interact nicely, you have nice things to say, and the not nice things we don't say,
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.